Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the places where we have been fighting this war, in the kinetic sense, for some 16 years now, is of course Afghanistan. It is a country that has been fought over throughout recorded history, and probably long before that, mostly inconclusively, and with the loss of immense amounts of lives and treasure on the part of many who sought to either impose their will, exercise their control over that country, or simply, as we have been trying to do now for almost two decades, to help the people. A man who has served with great distinction in that theater, as well as others, over some 30 years of experience in both the combat arms and in private sector life, is our guest for this full hour. He is Major Fred Galvin, United States Marine Corps retired, a decorated veteran, a man who has served in the most elite of elite units in the United States military, namely the U.S. Marine Corps' Force Recon units. He was also the first commanding officer of a company of MARSOC, as it's called, Marine Special Operations Command troops, who were dispatched to Afghanistan in 2007 for the purposes of trying to help achieve what has eluded us before and since, which is security in that country, a measure of stability, and ideally an end to the threat that it poses to us. He suffered greatly for his efforts, and we will be talking with him about both his own personal experiences in Afghanistan and what flowed from them, as well as draw from him, I'm hoping, insights into the larger problem that we face, in part thanks to some of the guidance and direction and policy recommendations being advanced by people with whom he interacted at a critical moment in his career. I'm honored to have him on the program for a full hour to talk about both what happened to him and Fox Company of MARSOC, and the so-called MARSOC 7, of which he was the commanding officer. Fred Galvin, thank you for taking time to talk with us at Secure Freedom Radio. It is an honor to have you on, and I look forward to a very interesting hour spent with you.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to talk first, I guess, about what transpired on March 4th, 2007, when you were in the field. You were induced to go conduct what I understand is a tribal leader's visit. Just tell us a little bit about, first of all, how you got to Afghanistan and on that particular day, and then we'll talk about what happened in its course.
Yes, in 2006, when the Marine Corps was ordered by then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, the Marine Corps stood up a company. We were the first company to become organized, and we were placed on ships for the 11 months prior to our deployment in January of 2007. On a weekly basis, I would ask the commanding general and then my also battalion commander and then the command's operations officer, you know, what our mission was going to be, you know, who we would work for, what the specified tasks would be in one of the subregions of the central command area in the Middle East that we would likely be deploying. And to give the listeners some background, and in 2007, right as we were deploying, there was a large effort going on in the international media to paint what was being requested of the additional force and troop surge into Iraq is just a a horrible situation that we could have gotten ourselves, which they blamed on the Bush administration. And that's where the media set its eyes on Iraq. And that's where we thought we would likely be going. But the Marine Corps is very determined that we stay on the ship. And it was stated as a finding of fact in the Court of Inquiry later in 2008 that we were supposed to stay on the ship. We went the other direction. That took us to Afghanistan. Just prior to us arriving there, the rules of engagement changed for all U.S. forces, which prior to October 2006, they fell under U.S. rules of engagement, and that changed to the NATO rules of engagement. So that was a big change for us, and that forced us to try to win hearts and minds. And so we could not do what we had been doing for several deployments in Iraq, which was you find the enemy, you have a good intelligence where they are, and you go capture or kill them, and you seek to win a war. In Afghanistan, when we arrived, it was you find the enemy, you collect more intelligence, and you try to win their hearts and minds by tribal leader engagements, and you just go on doing very little to progress the war effort. And that started when we sent our advance team in January 2007. They were collecting an immense amount of intelligence. And then when we arrived in February of 2007, we had a good picture of what was going on. The Army Special Forces colonel, which we worked for in Afghanistan, put us, the very first company, in a very austere location, which was great. It was right on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan. He had mentioned this was the last place that Osama bin Laden was last seen in the Battle of Anaconda up in the Torbore Mountains. So we were fairly excited that, you know, maybe this point where we knew a lot of foreign fighters were coming from across the globe and being trained in this training sanctuary over in Pakistan. So on the morning of the 4th of March, we were going into this town where we knew a specific location of four suicide bombers who had been fully trained, and they had linked up with their handlers in this town of Badi Khoh, and they were there. Intelligence was reported to us that they were planning to kill coalition forces in this town. So, of course, we couldn't go out and do anything other than a tribal leader engagement.
Yeah, let me interrupt you just to say, because I want to make sure that we're clear about this. You're leading, arguably, as capable a military unit as exists in the United States Armed Forces. Highly trained, highly skilled, highly lethal combatants, there for the purpose of decisively defeating the enemy. And yet, what you found yourself doing on this particular day in the town of Badi Khoh was going up a road in full daylight to meet with the so-called tribal leaders of the region. For what purpose was it your understanding, Fred, was that meeting being held?
We were there simply to collect information. We were not allowed to go and find the enemy and arrest them or kill them. That was simply not approved. And those levels of mission are called level two. And those have to go up to the prime minister of Afghanistan. So there's very little information that's going to be, you know, secret when Hamid Karzai knows about it.
But again, these are the sorts of things that made for rules of engagement that were highly restrictive to your combat operations and probabilities of success. Before we have to take a short break here, let's talk about what you were then subjected to on your way to meet with the tribal leaders.
Yeah, so our Marines realized that this was a very dangerous town. A lot of foreign fighters came across and they were being held in there. And they would meet their handlers in transit to fight the infidel and to wage jihad all across Afghanistan. So as we arrived into this village, which we had passed through 3 hours before and had normal atmospherics of men, women, and children buying their local shops, had all these goods that they were selling. When we came back through to slow down and stop that morning, it looked completely different. The baseline had changed from the hustle and bustle of getting something at a swap meet or a bazaar, as they call it, to both sides of the road at that point were lined up with men only of military age. It looked like we were going in there as though we were on a parade. Everybody was lined up staring at us. It was very obvious. There's no women and children. The baseline changed. We knew something was, you know, imminent to happen.
But unlike a parade, nobody was waving flags at you or welcoming you or throwing confetti. We're going to have to pause for just a moment. When we come back with Major Fred Galvin, United States Marine Corps retired, we'll find out what happened in the course of that very, very intense situation in Bati Ko on the 4th of March, 2007. That and much more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.